The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
Praise be to God for the weekend. It's here. Good morning, I'm Paul Sadek. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is Saturday, April 27th, 2024. Saturday of the fourth week of Easter. In the Missal, it's liturgical year B, cycle 2. Saturday is a day to pray the joyful mysteries of the Rosary. Our saint today is Saint Zita. Born about 1212 at Monte Sagrati, Italy, she entered into the service of the Fratinelli family at the age of 12. She was immediately disliked by the other servants for her hard work and obvious goodness, and she earned their special enmity because of her habit of giving away food and clothing to the poor, including those of her employers. In time, she won over the members of the household. According to one tradition, the other servants were convinced when one day they found an angel taking Zita's place in baking and cleaning. She was also credited with a variety of miracles. Zita is the patroness of servants. She died in 1272. Saint Zita, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. My God, I adore you and I love you with all my heart. I thank you for having created me, made me a Christian, and preserved me this night. I offer you the actions of this day. Grant that all of them may be in accordance with your holy will and for your greater glory. Protect me from sin and from all evil. Let your grace be always with me and with all my dear ones. Amen. And we join Pope Francis in praying that the dignity and immense value of women be recognized in every culture and for the end of discrimination that they experience in different parts of the world. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, and that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. When I was studying in Rome, I lived away from my home country for a long time, many years. And I experienced what many people experience when they move abroad, which was the separation, the physical separation from my family. From my parents, from my siblings, my grandparents. And naturally, it was very hard. I remember at one point my grandfather died while I was away, and that was difficult to not be able to say goodbye to him or to be there in those moments. Of course, I knew that I was where God wanted me to be, and I was joyfully offering up that sacrifice. But in general, in that situation of physical separation, you miss your loved ones and you want to see them. When I was abroad, this was before video calls were common, you know, FaceTime and all that. And so I often found myself imagining the faces of my family members and trying to remember their faces. And sometimes I would even worry that I was forgetting faces, right? Forgetting what people looked like. The face is the window of the soul. And as human beings, we want to engage not just with the voice of someone on the phone, but their face. And we want to see them in person. We want to engage them face to face. It's such a powerful thing. I remember my parents were finally able to come to Rome to visit me in my third year there. And what a powerful day, what a powerful moment when I could see my parents for the first time face to face after 3 full years away. That separation, that longing, and then the reunion, right, of seeing someone again face to face. That's a helpful analogy to think of the spiritual life, because in a sense, we are wayfarers on our way to our homeland in heaven, and there is an inherent tension in our lives where we long to see your face, Jesus, but we live by faith. We obviously believe in God. We love him. We love God as our Father in heaven, but we don't see him. And we can't see him, at least not physically. There's a very famous psalm, Psalm 42, that says, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and see the face of God?" And that's the sentiment we hear in today's gospel, where we're confronted with a scene from the upper room where Jesus, you Jesus, are really saying goodbye to your disciples. You're giving them your final teaching there where you've instituted the Eucharist. And you say, "If you know me, you know my Father too. From this moment, you know him and have seen him." And in this moment, Philip, one of the 12 apostles, he pipes up and he asks a question, which really we all instinctively ask, which is this: "Lord, let us see the Father, and then we shall be satisfied." Right? Because you, Jesus, have said that you know the Father and you have seen him. And Philip says, "I have not seen the Father. Show me the Father and I will be satisfied." We all have this same bug or this desire in us. Why can't I see God? When will I see God? I long to see God, to see the face of the love that I want, the one that I love. We wish instinctively that our faith could be satisfied with sight. We walk by faith and not by sight, and this is a tension. And so Philip asks the question that we all want to ask: "Show us the Father, and that will be enough." And Jesus, you reply by saying, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? To have seen me is to have seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Let us see the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." That must have been very moving for Philip, because Jesus, more than a correction or a rebuttal, it's your invitation to Philip to look again. It's like you're telling Philip, "Philip, look at me again. Look at this face that you've been seeing every day. Look at me standing here before you. What have you been looking at all this time? Have I not been showing you the Father from day one? Have you not experienced the Father's love? My love is the Father's love." Philip must have been very moved to hear this, and maybe also a little ashamed because he had not picked up on this connection. The apostles sometimes missed out on the real face of Jesus. They were with him all the time, eating, sleeping, walking, working all together, but they weren't seeing him as he truly was, as the Son, as the face of the Father. You know, we can think of that moment of the Transfiguration when Peter, James, and John see the glorified face of Jesus on Mount Tabor. But you know, that gospel scene ends by saying, suddenly when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, right? Moses and Elijah disappeared. And then it says, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus, right? The normal Jesus, the Jesus that they experienced every day, the human face of Jesus that has returned to its normal state, which is no longer glamorous or glorified. And this is a challenge for the apostles. They don't always see the Father in the Son. They don't always see God in the face of Jesus. In fact, they lose faith in you, Jesus. The very same Peter, who was so happy to have seen you glorified on Mount Tabor, is unwilling to climb Mount Calvary. He denies even knowing you, Jesus. I do not know the man. It's like he failed to recognize your face. Jesus, I don't want to forget your face. I don't want to lose sight of you. Help me to see you. He who sees me sees the Father. In order to see the Lord clearly, we need to stay close to him, to keep our faith in him burning bright. And this is only possible in prayer. And that's why we live our 10 minutes with Jesus. That's why we have this habit of prayer. St. Jose Maria once told those of Opus Dei, "My dear children, look at him, contemplate him, speak to him." We define our vocation to Opus Dei as contemplative because we strive to see God in all earthly things, in people, in events, in big things and little things, in what pleases us and in what we regard as painful. Well, how are we making this ideal of St. Jose Maria a reality in our lives? It's good for us to foster this hunger for God's face and to see him in the big things and little things of our lives, in what pleases us, in what we regard as painful or difficult, to see behind it the face of Jesus. This hunger to know him, to know his will, to love him, to love his will. And we discern this in prayer. It's in prayer that we are capable of recognizing the face of Jesus. Of course, we cannot see the face of God till we reach heaven, but we experience the foretaste of it more and more intensely at the rate of our contemplation, at the rate of our prayer, at the rate of our adoration of Jesus standing before us in the Eucharist, in the Blessed Sacrament. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold Jesus. Look at his face. We can ask Our Lady. Mother Mary is a face that reflects the face. The face of the Mother is very much like the face of the Son. To see her is to see her Son, and to see her Son is to see the Father. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
You'll always find a lot more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app.
Consider the ravens. They do not sow, and they do not reap. Yet God the Father provides for them. Yet upon the earth, these are among the smallest things. Consider
was one of my late wife Mary's favorites, John Michael Talbot with Lilies of the Field. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app for Saturday, April 27th, 2024. I'm Paul Sadek, and we begin this liturgical day joining with the whole church and all the angels and saints as we're led by our friends at divineoffice.org in the invitatory psalm and the office of readings.
Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will proclaim your praise.
Cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing for joy.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Know that he, the Lord, is God. He made us, we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his flock.
The Lord is risen.
Go within his gates giving thanks. Enter his courts with songs of praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Indeed, how good is the Lord, eternal his merciful love. He is faithful from age to age.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is risen.
Gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen.
The Lord delivered his people from the oppressor. Alleluia.
The Lord delivered his people from the oppressor. Alleluia.
How often they defied him in the wilderness and caused him pain in the desert. Yet again they put God to the test and grieved the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his deeds, nor the day he saved them from the foe, when he worked his miracles in Egypt, his wonders in the plains of Zoan, when he turned their rivers into blood, made their streams impossible to drink. He sent dog flies against them to devour them and swarms of frogs to molest them. He gave their crops to the grub, the fruit of the labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle to plague, their flocks and herds to pestilence. He turned on them the heat of his anger, fury, rage, and havoc, a troop of destroying angels. He gave free course to his anger. He did not spare them from death, but gave their lives to the plague. He struck all the firstborn in Egypt, the finest flower in the dwellings of Ham.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord delivered his people from the oppressor. Alleluia.
The Lord led his people to his holy mountain. Alleluia.
The Lord led his people to his holy mountain. Alleluia.
Then he brought forth his people like sheep. He guided his flock in the desert. He led them safely with nothing to fear, while the sea engulfed their foes. So he brought them to his holy land, to the mountain which his right hand had won. He drove out the nations before them and divided the land for their heritage. Their tents he gave as a dwelling to each one of Israel's tribes. Still, they put God to the proof and defied him. They refused to obey the Most High. They strayed, as faithless as their fathers, like a bow on which the archer cannot count. With their mountain shrines, they angered him, made him jealous with the idols they served. God saw and was filled with fury. He utterly rejected Israel. He forsook his dwelling place in Shiloh, the tent where he lived among men. He gave his ark into captivity, his glorious ark into the hands of the foe. He gave up his people to the sword in his anger against his chosen ones. So war devoured their young men. Their maidens had no wedding songs. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lament. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord led his people to his holy mountain. Alleluia.
The Lord chose the tribe of Judah and David his servant to shepherd Israel, his chosen people. Alleluia.
The Lord chose the tribe of Judah and David his servant to shepherd Israel, his chosen people. Alleluia.
Then the Lord awoke as if from sleep, like a warrior overcome with wine. He struck his foes from behind and put them to everlasting shame. He rejected the tent of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, the hill of Zion, which he loves. He built his shrine like the heavens, or like the earth, which he made firm forever. And he chose David his servant and took him away from the sheepfolds. From the care of the ewes he called him to be shepherd of Jacob, his people, of Israel, his own possession. He tended them with blameless heart, with discerning mind he led them.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. For your people, Lord Jesus, you bring water from the rock and rain bread from heaven. You forgive sins with limitless generosity. Do not let us be marked by the unfaithfulness as in days of old, but grant that the covenant you sealed with your blood may merit us a place with you in your kingdom.
The Lord chose the tribe of Judah and David his servant to shepherd Israel, his chosen people. Alleluia.
God has given us new birth into a living hope. Alleluia.
By raising Jesus Christ from the dead.
Alleluia.
From the Book of Revelation. I, John, saw another angel coming down from heaven. His authority was so great that all the earth was lighted up by his glory. He cried out in a strong voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place for demons. She is a cage for every unclean spirit, a cage for every filthy and disgusting bird. For she has made all the nations drink the poisoned wine of her lewdness. The kings of the earth committed fornication with her, and the world's merchants grew rich from her wealth and wantonness." Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Depart from her, my people, for fear of sinning with her and sharing the plagues inflicted on her. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God keeps count of her crimes. Pay her back as she has paid others. Pay her double for her deeds. Pour into her cup twice the amount she concocted. In proportion to her boasting and sensuality, repay her in torment and grief." For she said to herself, "I sit enthroned as a queen. No widow am I, and never will I go into mourning. Therefore, her plagues will come all at once, death and mourning and famine. She shall be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who condemns her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication with her and wallowed in her sensuality will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke arise as she burns. They will keep their distance for fear of the punishment inflicted on her, and will say, 'Alas, alas, great city that you are, Babylon the mighty. In a single hour your doom has come.' The merchants of the world will weep and mourn over her too, for there will be no more market for their imports, their cargoes of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple garments, silk and scarlet cloth, fragrant wood of every kind, all sorts of ivory pieces and expensive wooden furniture, bronze, iron, and marble, cinnamon and amomum, perfumes, myrrh and frankincense, wine and olive oil, fine flour and grain, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, slaves and human lives. The fruit your appetite craved has deserted you. All your luxury and splendor are gone. You shall never find them again. The merchants who deal in these goods, who grew rich from business with the city, will keep their distance for fear of the punishment inflicted on her. Weeping and mourning, they cry out, 'Alas, alas, the great city, dressed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, adorned all in gold and jewels and pearls. In a single hour, this great wealth has been destroyed. Every captain and navigator, all sailors and seafaring men, then stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke go up as the city burned to the ground. What city could have compared with this great one? They poured dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and mourning, 'Alas, alas, the great city, in which all shipowners grew rich from their profitable trade with her. In a single hour her destruction has come about. Rejoice over her, you heavens, you saints, apostles, and prophets, for God has exacted punishment from her on your account.'"
Depart from Babylon, purify yourselves, you who carry the vessels of the Lord.
For the Lord shall lead you forth,
and the God of Israel shall be your rear guard.
Alleluia.
Depart from Babylon, my people. Let each one save himself from the anger of the Lord.
For the Lord shall lead you forth,
and the God of Israel shall be your rear guard.
Alleluia.
From the Commentary on the Letter to the Romans by St. Cyril of Alexandria, Bishop. Though many, we are one body, and members one of another, united by Christ in the bonds of love. Christ has made Jews and Gentiles one by breaking down the barrier that divided us and abolishing the law with its precepts and decrees. This is why we should all be of one mind, and if one member suffers some misfortune, all should suffer with him. If one member is honored, all should be glad. Paul says, "Accept one another as Christ accepted you for the glory of God." Now, accepting one another means being willing to share one another's thoughts and feelings, bearing one another's burdens, and preserving the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is how God accepted us in Christ. For John's testimony is true, and he said that God the Father loved the world so much that he gave his own Son for us. God's Son was given as a ransom for the lives of us all. He has delivered us from death, redeemed us from death and from sin. Paul throws light on the purpose of God's plan when he says that Christ became the servant of the circumcised to show God's fidelity. God had promised the Jewish patriarchs that he would bless their offspring and make it as numerous as the stars of heaven. This is why the divine word himself, who as God holds all creation in being and is the source of its well-being, appeared in the flesh and became man. He came into this world in human flesh, not to be served, but as he himself said, to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ declared that his coming in visible form was to fulfill the promise made to Israel. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," he said. Paul was perfectly correct, then, in saying that Christ became a servant of the circumcised in order to fulfill the promise made to the patriarchs, and that God the Father had charged him with this task, as also with the task of bringing salvation to the Gentiles, so that they too might praise their Savior and Redeemer as the Creator of the universe. In this way, God's mercy has been extended to all men, including the Gentiles, and it can be seen that the mystery of the divine wisdom contained in Christ has not failed in its benevolent purpose. In the place of those who fell away, the whole world has been saved.
It was our duty to proclaim the word of God to you first, but since you reject it and thus condemn yourselves as unworthy of eternal life,
we now turn to the Gentiles.
Alleluia. This is what the Lord commands us to do. I have made you a light to the nations.
We now turn to the Gentiles.
Alleluia.
Let us pray. O God, who in the celebration of Easter graciously give to the world the healing of heavenly remedies, show benevolence to your church, that our present observance may benefit us for eternal life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
This is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app for Saturday of the fourth week of Easter, April 27th, 2024. I'm Paul Sadek, and in today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, it seems to keep happening. The Lord has to set Philip straight. Today, one could imagine the Lord saying, "Oh, Philip, don't you get it?" It's from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John.
"If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Henceforth, you know him and have seen him."
Philip said to him,
"Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied."
"Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it.
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible courtesy of Falcon Picture Group, daily and Sunday Mass readings are on the Relevant Radio app. Every Saturday is Mary's Day, and that is our musical tribute for today for our Blessed Mother from Sarah Hart. Mother Mary, pray for us. It's daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, and we join the whole church in prayer once again. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
God, whose almighty word, chaos. took their flight. Hear us, we humbly pray, and where the gospel day sheds not its glorious ray, let there be light. Savior, who came to give those who in darkness lived healing and sight, help those who seek to find, heal those whose hearts are blind, and in each humble mind let there be light. Spirit of truth and love, life-giving holy dove, speed forth your flight. Move on the water's face, bearing the lamp of grace, and in earth's darkest place, let there be light. Holy and blessed three, glorious Trinity, wisdom, love, might, boundless as ocean's tide, rolling in fullest pride through the earth far and wide, let there be light.
How wonderful are your works, O Lord. Alleluia.
How wonderful are your works, O Lord. Alleluia.
It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your truth in the watches of the night, on the ten-stringed lyre and the lute, with the murmuring sound of the harp.
Your deeds, O Lord, have made me glad. For the work of your hands I shout with joy. O Lord, how great are your works! How deep are your designs! The foolish man cannot know this, and the fool cannot understand.
Though the wicked spring up like grass, and all who do evil thrive, they are doomed to be eternally destroyed. But you, Lord, are eternally on high. See how your enemies perish. All doers of evil are scattered.
To me you give the wild ox's strength. You anoint me with the purest oil. My eyes looked in triumph on my foes. My ears heard gladly of their fall. The just will flourish like the palm tree and grow like a Lebanon cedar.
Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God, still bearing fruit when they are old, still full of sap, still green, to proclaim that the Lord is just. In him, my rock, there is no wrong.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Take our shame away from us, Lord, and make us rejoice in your saving works. May all who have been chosen by your Son always abound in works of faith, hope, and love in your service.
How wonderful are your works, O Lord! Alleluia!
I will pour cleansing water upon you. Alleluia.
I will pour cleansing water upon you. Alleluia.
I will take you away from the nations, gather you from all the foreign lands, and bring you back to your own land.
I will sprinkle clean water upon you to cleanse you from all your impurities, and from all your idols I will cleanse you.
I will give you a new heart and place a new spirit within you, taking from your bodies your stony hearts and giving you natural hearts.
I will put my spirit within you and make you live by my statutes, careful to observe my decrees.
You shall live in the land I gave your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I will pour cleansing water upon you. Alleluia.
All things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Alleluia.
All things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Alleluia.
How great is your name, O Lord, our God, through all the earth.
Your majesty is praised above the heavens. On the lips of children and of babes you have found praise to foil your enemy, to silence the foe and the rebel.
When I see the heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars which you arranged, what is man that you should keep him in mind, mortal man, that you care for him?
Yet you have made him little less than a god. With glory and honor you crowned him, gave him power over the works of your hand, put all things under his feet.
All of them, sheep and cattle, yes, even the savage beasts, birds of the air, and fish that make their way through the waters.
How great is your name, O Lord our God, through all the earth.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty Lord, how wonderful is your name. You have made every creature subject to you. Make us worthy to give you service.
All things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Alleluia.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. None of us lives as his own master, and none of us dies as his own master. While we live, we are responsible to the Lord. And when we die as his servants. Both in life and death, we are the Lord's. That is why Christ died and came to life again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
He hung upon the cross for us.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
When the Prince of Pastors comes again, you will receive from him an unfading crown of glory. Alleluia.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
When the Prince of Pastors comes again, you will receive from him an unfading crown of glory. Alleluia. Christ has made known to us the life that lasts forever. With faith and joy, let us cry out to him, saying,
Lord, may your resurrection bring us the riches of your grace.
Eternal Shepherd, look on your flock as it rises from sleep.
Feed us with the word of life and the bread from heaven.
Lord, may your resurrection bring us the riches of your grace. Keep us safe from wolf and hireling.
And make us faithful in listening to your voice.
Lord, may your resurrection bring us the riches of your grace. You are present to all who preach your gospel and give power to their words.
Make us today preachers of your resurrection by your holiness of life.
Lord, may your resurrection bring us the riches of your grace. Be our great joy that no one can take from us,
so that we may reject sin with its sadness and reach out to eternal life.
Lord, may your resurrection bring us the riches of your grace. And as we begin the movement toward Sunday, the celebration of resurrection every week, we offer the prayers and joy and hopes of our own hearts. Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, may your resurrection bring us the riches of your grace.
Let us make our prayers and praise complete by offering the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
O God, who in the celebration of Easter graciously give to the world the healing of heavenly remedies, show benevolence to your church, that our present observance may benefit us for eternal life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Well, I hope that you can get everything done today so that tomorrow can be a real day of rest. But of course, don't stop praying. Morning Air, the Saturday edition, is coming up with John and Glenn in just a few minutes. I'm Paul Sadek. Let's get together again tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the Relevant Radio app. Go out now, make it a great day and a great weekend, and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 Minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on relevantradio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.